This morning's lesson is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And ye were dead in the trespasses and sins in which ye once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the children of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of humanity. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for our gospel reading.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel is written in the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 27th verse. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, but bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you." The Gospel of Christ.
Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we invite you by your Holy Spirit to minister to our spirits and to draw us into deeper fellowship and abiding with you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just say, as I begin this morning, that it's an honor to be invited to share God's word here at Little Trinity. I appreciate the invitation that Tim gave to me, and I consider it a real honor and a privilege to be able to do that. When I listen to the words that Cliff just read for us from Luke chapter 6, I have to tell you, I have a problem. I have a problem because there is absolutely no way that I can live up to what Jesus called his followers to do. The words we read come from what many people call the Sermon on the Plain, as opposed to the Sermon on the Mount, which is in the Gospel of Matthew. And this is the Sermon on the Plain because Luke says that Jesus spoke this to the crowd on a level place. There are so many similarities between the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. But as I listen to those words, I think there's no way that I can live the way Jesus calls me to live. And in this sermon series that we've been following on the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, there is a possibility as I look at those verses and as I listen to them being read, I think to myself, let me do a little self-test. I think probably on a scale of 1 to 10, I might be a 5. And there's room with the Holy Spirit's help that maybe next year or the following year I'll be a 6 or a 7 or maybe even an 8. You know, there is a tendency, if we just focus on one section of the Scripture, to think about what we can do to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And yet, while it's important to examine ourselves and to find out how God is working in our lives, it's also important to come back to two very important factors that have been emphasized in this series. The first is abiding. Tim stressed that in his first message on this series, based in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, "Abide in me." The bottom line of that message is no abiding, no fruit. No abiding, no fruit. The message is that it's not about achieving fruit. It's about abiding. It's not achieving, it's abiding. And as we abide in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, He works out His character through us into the world. The second factor that we need to keep in mind, I think, is the otherness of the fruit of the Spirit. It's easy to look at the fruit of the Spirit and think, okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I can work on all those things. But when we start to look at what the Bible, what the Scripture teaches us about the words that Paul uses there, we discover that there's an otherness to the peace of Christ. There's an otherness to the joy, as James said several weeks ago. Joy is not just happiness on steroids. It is something essentially different. And when I begin to look and to examine the fruit of the Spirit as we see it in Galatians chapter 5, and my assignment was to talk about the kindness and the goodness of God. When I start to look at what the Spirit, what the Scripture tells me about the kindness and the goodness of God, I discover that it is other than any kindness that I can do on my own strength or any goodness that I can produce on my own strength. Let me share with you a bit of what the Scripture teaches us about the kindness of God. First off, in the verses that were just read for us by Cliff from Luke chapter 6, Jesus says to his listeners, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. And he goes on, and in the middle of that section, he says, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. That's another kind of goodness than the goodness I can produce. He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And in fact, Jesus is saying, basically, you will have the traits of the family. You'll be like your father if you practice this kind of goodness. In Ephesians chapter 2, which was read for us by Maureen, Paul says that Christ has redeemed us and set us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The word kindness in the New Testament, according to the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, which is a scholarly text that New Testament scholars use regularly and has been used for decades. But in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, we're told the word that is translated kindness here in Galatians chapter 5 and kindness in Luke chapter 6 actually was a full, if not very common, equivalent to such terms as grace and righteousness. Grace and righteousness. That puts a whole new light on the words that all of us probably know, where Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But in fact, in the words that were written in the scripture, it could be translated, "My yoke is kind." It's gracious. So often we look at that and we say, well, I'll take Jesus' yoke because it's a little easier than any other yoke. You know, maybe I can accomplish something. No, what Jesus is really saying is, my yoke. What I'm asking you to do is to join me because I want to pour out my grace, my kindness on you. And God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, wants to produce that kind of kindness in you and me. We can't do that in our own strength. What about the otherness of the goodness of God? Well, Jesus spoke and he said, "Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." None of those things are easy to do or natural to do. Let me just say, briefly in passing here, when we come to the question of abusing and pray for those who abuse you, I believe that the scripture does not teach us that a Christian must remain in an abusive situation where there's spousal abuse or where there's sexual abuse or where there's some kind of abuse, even in your workplace. God does not require us to stay in the abusive situation, but he does call us to pray for those who abuse us. That's part of the goodness of God. The goodness of God is about moral excellence and purity. It's not primarily about what we don't do, and it is primarily about the good that we do in our lives. You know, so often, I mean, I've been a pastor, as Karen said, I've had over 50 years in ministry, and often you get to a funeral service and somebody stands up and says, "This person was a good person." And generally what they mean by that is, well, they didn't do this and they didn't do that and they weren't unfaithful to their spouse, and on it goes. But really, when God calls us to goodness, he says, "Actively show my grace, my purity, my love to those, even those who hate you and who curse you." Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that Jesus told his followers, "There's no one good except God alone." So the only way we can have the goodness of God is by abiding in Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us to produce his goodness and to flow his goodness through us to those around us. So how do we do that? Let me suggest three words that help me in this whole process. And they are these simply: voices, choices, and practices. Easy to remember. Voices, choices, practices. I hesitate to call it a mantra, because a mantra is sort of, the implication of a mantra is it puts you into a semi-conscious state. That's not what I want. But these words can become a guide for our lives. Voices, choices, and practices. First of all, voices. 1981, Donna and I moved to France to study French for a year in preparation to going to Africa. And when we arrived, this is 1981, no cell phones, no GPS, we found out, and we had no children, so we decided we're going to do our best to travel and see the world, the Europe at least. And so we invested in Michelin maps and Michelin guides. We had stacks of maps and of guides to get us through and show us where to go and how to get around and to see the things that we wanted to see. Fast forward a few years, and what do you have now? Well, you pull out your cell phone and you bring up Google Maps or Waze or some other kind of guide, and they have a little voice. Man, it's always a female voice, it seems to me. I don't know if those applications know that men are more likely to follow the instructions that come from a female or not. I don't know, but the voice comes and it tells you, turn left in 300 meters. Go here and exit the highway there, and so on. And it tells you where to go and how to do it. Let me ask you, in your spiritual life, what voices are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? Are you listening to the voices of your peers and your colleagues at work that say, it's okay, everybody's doing it, don't worry? Are you listening to the voices that come to you from the television advertising and say, you deserve this good thing or that? I wonder, however did they know I deserved that? You deserve this, and we listen to these voices. Are you practicing listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Can we even recognize the Spirit's voice? You know, as you have little children, you know that little children can recognize their parents' voice. Often in a crowd, if the parent calls, the child knows, that's my dad, that's my mom. Or the other way around. If the child is calling, the parent knows, that is my child. How do we develop the ability to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father? Jesus said in that sermon on the plain, as Cliff read the very first words there, is Jesus said to those, I say to you who hear, do good. Pray for those who abuse you. Pray for those, bless those who curse you. Jesus said, I say this to you who hear. What voices are you listening to? And then, of course, it's not just voices that are important, but it's our choices once we hear the voices. The basic thing in Scripture is this. When we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the question is, are we choosing independence or submission? Is it my way or God's way? We watch this happen in our children as they grow up. You know, children want to test the limits. They want to be independent. They want to do it their own way. And I tell you, I do this sometimes with the GPS in my car, too. The GPS lady says, turn right in 300 meters. And I say, nope, I'm going straight ahead. I'm sure she will recalculate. Do we do that in our spiritual life as well? We say, well, I think God wants me to do this, but no, I'm going to choose this, and I'm going to let God recalculate. How are we listening? Are we choosing submission or independence in our spiritual life? Jesus said, abide in me. No abiding, no fruit. You get disconnected from me, and you won't produce fruit. Fruit that honors God. The character of God displayed in your life. Jesus said, abide in me. And I think in Galatians chapter 5, if we were to go on a couple of verses past the verses that we're looking at in the fruit of the Spirit, Paul concludes that section by saying this in verse 25 of Galatians 5. He said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And let me explain what I think is happening there. By the way, for many, many years I taught New Testament Greek in seminary here in Toronto, then in Africa. And so in this passage, I think what Paul is saying is, if we have spiritual life by the Spirit of God living in us, let's walk by the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. The New International Version translates it, let's keep in step with the Spirit. The image I get in my mind is walking with my grandkids downtown, going to the museum or some other place, and get to a busy intersection. What do? Hold my hand. Hold my hand. And Paul is saying, you may have life, your eternal life, forgiveness of sins. Your life is given to you by the Holy Spirit living in you. But the next step is, let's hold hands with the Spirit. Let's keep walking with the Spirit. Because that is the only way we can have fruit. Voices, choices, practices. Someone has said, you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a destiny. Practices are the habits that we form as we respond to the choices and the voices that we hear. And practices are what we want God, what we need God to do in our lives, to develop, to build those practices, those habits that honor Him and that show His the fruit of the Spirit to those around us. What are your default responses? What are your habits when something new comes along? My grandchildren again, one of the youngest ones, his default response these days is, no, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. How often in our lives do we have this? I'm that character. I'm that kind of person. When something new comes along, a new experience, I think, no, I'll let you guys do it. I'll just watch. Thank you. You know, that's my default response. But in our spiritual life, what do we do to develop godly practices, godly habits? Several times over our series already, the concept of spiritual disciplines has been mentioned. James mentioned it. I think Karen and Tim both mentioned it as well. Spiritual discipline. Someone has said that spiritual disciplines, listen to this. Spiritual disciplines are doing what you don't naturally want to do in order to become what you truly want to be. Doing what you don't naturally want to do in order to become what you truly want to be. Athletes know this. Musicians know this. Practice, 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 practice. Why? You do what you don't naturally want to do. Why? To become what you really want to be. And what do we do with these spiritual disciplines? Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount, whatever you would like someone else to do to you, do that to them. You would like their forgiveness? Then forgive them. And that section of that passage of Scripture which finishes with Jesus saying, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What kind of spiritual disciplines, what kind of practices are you developing in life as you listen to the voice of the Spirit and you choose to abide in Him? I have about 5 minutes and I'm going to share a personal example. That comes from a long time ago. Some of you will think it's ancient history. 1989, Donna and I and our family were in Africa. I was teaching in a seminary. She was running a health center. And we were very much involved in ministry and a very busy ministry. But a message came to me and word came to me at the early part of 1989 asking me if I would be willing to let my name be considered for a leadership position in a Christian organization back in Canada. And I said, well, okay, you know, if you think it, I would qualify, I'll let my name stand. Nothing happened. Remember in 1989 in Africa where we were, there were no phones, there was no communication, and nothing happened. It was all by mail and letters back and forth. And after a number of months, I was getting to the point where I needed to know in order to plan our ministry, well, what's happening on this? So I took a trip to the I took advantage of a trip to the capital city, which is 10 hours drive away, to get to the post office to make a phone call to talk to the individual who would be responsible for this. And I finally got through to the individual and I said, okay, I just need to know where are things at. And he said, well, we've gone through all the other candidates and none of them qualify. We need to talk to you. And we want you to come for an interview. I said, well, I'm in Africa. And that would be about $3,000 U.S. because it's short notice and air flights are more expensive back then. It was about $3,000 U.S. Just for comparison's sake, today in Canadian dollars, that would be about $10,000. And they said, no, no, we need you to come. So just buy the ticket, come. So I said, all right, I'll leave in a week because I have to get things settled here and get organized. And I'll leave in a week and I'll come. So the mission agent bought the ticket. I drove back the 10 hours to where we ministered to get organized and get things set up so I could leave for a while. And 2 days later, a telegram came to our mission agent in Kinshasa, the capital city, don't come. They relayed that to me by shortwave radio, don't come. A letter will follow. I waited and waited. 6 weeks later, the letter came and said, well, someone said you wouldn't be suitable for this job. So we're not going to pursue it. In the meantime, our mission agent in Kinshasa had gone to the airline and asked for a refund of the ticket. And the airline said, yes, we'll refund the ticket. But the money never showed up in my account at the mission. I was liable for $3,000 US. My reputation had been impugned. Questioned. I was going to have to pay for a trip that I never made, for an interview that I never took, for a job that I never was even offered. I had major problems. Nothing happened with that debt for over 2 years. And for 2 years, I resented that Christian brother who had put me in that position. I asked them to pay for that $3,000. No, no, it's not our responsibility. We checked with the airline. The airline said, no, we gave the money to the mission. We checked with the mission. No, we didn't receive it. And finally, after 2 long years, I listened to the voice of the Spirit. Measure out my forgiveness. Measure out my goodness. And in my heart and in my spirit, I came to the place through the power of the Holy Spirit working where I could forgive that individual and even get to the place where I could work with him on various projects. 2 months after I got to that position, word came to me. The money has been found. It was sitting in the wrong account for over 2 years. Now, don't ask me about the accountants the missions used. But it was sitting in the wrong account for over 2 years and waiting until God would release his blessing. Let me ask you, are you measuring out the kindness and the goodness of God through the power of the Holy Spirit working in you? Are you listening to the voice of the Spirit, choosing to abide and building the habits so that those around you, in your family, in your workplace, where you live, they will say, this person is a child of the Most High. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.